Okay, if you would like to turn, I'm going to read one verse of Scripture. Won't take long to cover one verse of Scripture, will it? I see some of you smiling. You must know me. And it's a short verse at that. Genesis 31, 30. And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, because I'll give you the story here in a second so you can catch what's going on here. Yet, he said, wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? Wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? You have come into my house and taken my gods. He said this to Jacob. And we know whose God Jacob was, right? And it wasn't Laban's gods. But we'll see the story here in just a minute. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Scripture. We thank you for the time. We thank you for the message. And Lord, I pray that we leave here today understanding, realizing more what idols have an effect on our lives, and the reality of idol worship. We're going to praise you, Lord, for everything you do here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Every time I mention idol worship, I get the idea of a little short fat guy sitting on the floor with his legs crossed. Y'all know who I'm talking about? Oh, you've seen those. If you have one in your house, remove it. Okay? Or paint it green or something. I'm not telling you what to do with the stuff in your house. I'm just saying that, but that normally comes up when we do this. And then when you look back in the Old Testament times, there were a lot of idols. And even in the New Testament, when the Lord began his work, folks began to go toward idols. It was amazing how many people. Did you know that John the Baptist had many, many heads? Because folks would take a head of someone and take it to different areas and worship it as though it were John the Baptist's head. It was amazing what people would do to have something to worship. When there's only one God that deserves and warrants our worship. But man just has a way of going toward idols to worship. Now, I know you're going to go with me to the little Buddha guy, and you're going to say, I don't have one of those guys. I don't have anything that's made out of wood, stone, or metal in my house that I would call a worship. Well, I'm glad you said that, because now we're going to dig a little deeper, okay? You know that old song, dig a little deeper in the well? Well, we're going to dig a little deeper in the well. The worship of idols is called idolatry. And no one wants to be associated with idolatry, do we? I don't. And I'm sure you don't either. An idol is an object of extreme devotion. That means you have your mind, your thoughts, you even might pray toward that item of idolatry. Things that we hold on to that are not according to God's word is an idol. Now, that's probably a better statement than the one I just made before that, because it gives you a more open idea of what an idol is. It is something that we hold on to that is not according to the Word of God. So that would include more than a statue of Buddha hanging around your house, right? And I just mentioned Buddha. There are many more of those, okay? Not going to go into that. But I have a Greek meaning of the word idol so that we can understand a little bit more what an idol is. And it actually takes us away from the Buddha statue or even an angel statue. Oh, I must have hurt somebody there. You might have an angel statue in your house. If you do, don't make it an idol. Amen? Because the angel doesn't deserve the worship that God deserves. Absolutely. My mom loved angels. In fact, when she passed away, she got a number of little angels, you know, that. But my mom didn't worship angels. But she knew that there were angels watching over her boys. She knew an angel had to be watching over her boys. She knew there were angels out there, you know, and that God had appointed these angels. But when I looked up the Greek meaning of the word idol, it means reflection in water or mirror. Now that's odd, isn't it? A reflection in water or mirror. All that means is what you see is what you are. I get quiet sometimes because I want you to think about that. What you see is what you are. If what you're worshiping is a reflection of you, we need to be very careful, right? We do. Things that take you away from the power of God, that may not be a statue at all. It may be something totally different. The Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods. And he didn't say statues. He said no other gods. So we're going away from statues, if you haven't noticed. Not totally, because it could be that there is something that you can actually put your hands on that you may worship that's around your household. Or that, God forbid, that we would take something on in this building that would become an object of worship rather than the God of heaven. And we don't want to do that. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That includes actual items of wood, stone, and metal, but, and that separates what I'm getting into today. Also, personal thoughts on the way you want to run your life. We would all say that I want God to run my life. I want my life to be run the way God wants me to live. We would all say that. But then we get away from the church or away from the Word of God, and we tend to not, we don't wait till Monday morning even. We began to decide what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, and we never give God a little bit of time to come in and tell us what he wants us to do. We want to do it. And so it becomes an idol because it takes away the power of God to operate and run in our life. And I was hoping and praying that God would give me a way to say that so that we would all get that and leave here today knowing that there are a lot of different ways in which we can have idols in our life. So think about that. Now, idolatry is a fact. Whether it's in my life or your life, it is a fact. And Laban made sure that we knew in this scripture that idolatry was a fact. Laban was not a guy who didn't know who God was. Just because he made this statement about his gods, he didn't say, I don't know your God. Never been around anybody who knew your God, because he had and he did. In fact, God spoke to him right before he made his little trip to catch Jacob and Rachel and the others as they were leaving. And I'll get to that part of the story in a minute. Don't want to get ahead of myself. But before he had made this trip, God had spoken to him. He said, now I don't want you to go down there to Jacob and speak to him in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I don't want you to say anything good or anything bad. In other words, God was saying, why would you even go for him? But Laban had a reason for going for him. Laban was worshiping gods. And his gods were gone. And he wanted his gods. It was serious business for him that his gods were gone. Is there anything in our lives today that if it were missing, it would really disturb your life? You would say, what happened to my God or my gods? I can't lose those. He went into a panic. Laban just absolutely went into a panic because his gods were gone. Well, let's look a little further into this story. Laban, who was Jacob's father-in-law, and if you don't know the whole story, just read back from where we read that one verse today and you can read the whole story. And I think it'll help you maybe to understand what this message will be about today. Laban, Jacob's father-in-law, was an idolater. Jacob had two of his daughters and children, his grandchildren. Now, of course, everyone loves their daughters and their grandchildren. But Laban didn't go after his daughters and his grandchildren, even though he would say when he catches up to him, "You took my daughters without my knowledge. You took my grandchildren without my knowledge. I didn't even get to kiss them and say goodbye. Why would you do this to me? Why would you take the things that are dear to me?" But then when he got down past that, the statement that he made where you knew where his heart was, "You took my gods." And his children wasn't his gods, even though, be careful, they can be. Grandchildren wasn't the gods, even though, be careful, they can be. Yeah, I love my grandchildren to death, but I'll beat them to death if they don't do right. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just want you to know we're into the message here and you're with me, right? Whether we're talking about your children, your grandchildren, or anything else in your house that might be an issue as far as an idol is concerned. But Jacob's wife, Rachel, had a problem. But in a way, it was a problem given to her by her parents, or Laban. She also liked the gods that her father worshipped. Because when Jacob and Rachel and the others left, Rachel went into the room where the gods were and grabbed them, put them in her saddlebags, and took off with them. She was the culprit. Jacob didn't even know that she had stolen the gods and was taking them on their journey back toward his homeland. See, Jacob, that wasn't Jacob's home up there with Laban at all. He didn't belong there. And he was going back to where he belonged. And it's a good little story there, because sometimes when you see that you're going in the wrong direction and you need to get back where you belong as far as your relationship with God, if someone has put the little gods in their saddlebags, it could create a problem for you down the road. So should we be aware as families, as father and mother, should we be aware of gods in our home that our children might be seeing that we're giving more attention to than God himself? I'm not going to get into everything, because I guarantee you that I'm seeing minds going right now, and you're picking out things in your life that are taking space where God deserves. Time where God deserves, and you're saying it's not right. I know it's not right, but it just seems like that's the way everybody's going, so I'm doing it too. If my children are into this, I'm going to go with it, even though it takes time away from what God wants from my family. Be very careful. Be men, women of God, and stand firm on that you're not going to allow that to happen, because once that takes place and we give in to all those things, when your children grow up, their children will be the same way. It just goes downhill. Rachel knew what her father was doing. And she went and stole them and took them. She didn't want to go away without those gods because they had such an attachment to her life. So what is more important to us in our lives than God himself? Laban openly admitted here that the sticks and stones that she had picked up and took with her were his gods. Now, there is a certain foolishness about having idols in our life. Foolish. Have you never said to someone who does something, makes some kind of an act in their life, and you say, boy, that was foolish. I can't believe they were that foolish to do that. Well, if we have an idol in our life or idols in our life that's taken the place of God, it's foolish. It is. And we'll see that right here. The reason it's foolish is because those gods that we put before God, they can't have a presence with you. In other words, if you're having an issue in your life that you can't handle, you can't go to them in the middle of the night and they can let you know that they're there with you and that they can help you solve this problem that's in your life. They can't do that. You're going to look foolish if you're talking to a statue. You're going to look foolish if you're trying to talk to yourself about the ideas that you have that are bigger than God's. And you're controlling your life, and what you're doing to control your life is not working, and you're going back to yourself who originated the idea anyway, and you're saying to yourself, that's not working. What I'm doing is not working. I'm not happy. There's something missing in my life. Well, whatever you've got in your life is not working, and it's not going to fulfill that spot that needs to be fulfilled. It's not going to do it. So your gods are not going to give you the warmth of the promise of love that my God gave me. He promised that he would love me now and he would love me forever. He also promised me that he would judge me now and he'll judge me anytime he sees fit to judge me. That's my God. He's the God of truth, and that's what he's going to do. So Laban's gods, they were helpless to help him. They were helpless to help Rachel and his other children and his grandchildren. They couldn't do anything for them. When Jacob caught Laban down, he had gone down to feed some of his cattle or something. He knew he had to get out of there because he saw Laban as a man who would force his daughters to stay. He would find a way to lock them up on his property, and they couldn't get away. So when Laban left, Jacob said, get your stuff and let's get out of here. Rachel goes into the room, grabs the idols, and she says, okay, let's go. So when she stole them and took them down the road, Laban came back home, and he says, oh, my gods are gone. And so he took off after them. God says, you better not mess with him. Didn't bother Laban at all. When he caught up with them, he went through his little spiel. But then when he got to Jacob, Jacob said, listen, Laban, if you find those gods on anybody here in this group of people, you can take their life. Jacob didn't know his own wife had the gods. But that was the statement he would have stood by. If you find them, they're yours. Well, he began to search, and he searched everywhere. But you know where Rachel had hid the gods? She sat on them. That's how she hid them. She sat on them. He would respect his daughter and not make her stand up and search under her. She knew that. She sat on them. Foolish? You say, that sounds foolish. How foolish is that, that you would want to preserve those by sitting on them and Laban would want them back enough to take a long trip up the road just to get something that couldn't do anything for him? How foolish is that? That's what this story is. How foolish is idolatry? Now, I have to tell you some things that you would have never thought about in the church, in among Christian living, that become idols to us. You'll never think about these as idols, but you will after today, okay? Let's take a look at them, because it is the power of idolatry on our lives. The power of idolatry on our lives. And if we think that we don't have an idol in our lives, all we got to do is just take just a moment away from the distractions of all this world and say, God, I need to take a good look at how I am towards you and what I'm doing that's taken away my thoughts and my time from you. I got to do that. So here's what we're going to do. Shortly before this incident, God had spoken to Laban. He said, don't you mess with my man there. Don't speak with him in any way, shape, form, or fashion, because I know these are yours, and I know you want them bad, but you leave him alone. You see, man's nature is to manufacture these things. So if man's nature is to manufacture these things, it's not going to always be something that you can actually place your hands on. It's going to be something that's going to be made here. We know the phrase creative mind, right? Can you imagine what God, Satan can do with a creative mind that's not following the will of God? He can cause you to create about anything you want to right up here. And folks, it becomes an idol here. It doesn't have to be made into some form of some kind. It's right here. And so we as Christians need to be very careful, because we are idol factories. We have that ability because of our nature, our human nature. We can do that. Because I've always said, if man doesn't worship God, he'll worship something. If your mind and your soul, your spirit is not directed toward him, I promise you it'll be directed toward something else. And when that is, it becomes an idol. I'm just going to share a few of these ideas and beliefs of man that become idols, and if it rings a bell in your life, that's good. If it doesn't ring a bell, then you won't hear it. Did I say if it didn't ring a bell, you won't hear it? Yeah. If I don't call, don't answer. Okay? That's where we are with this. So here's where idolatry becomes a problem for Christians working for the Lord. We have the idea that we can plan things. Okay? We have the idea that we can plan things. And when we plan things, leaving God out, our plans become an idol. They take the place of what God would do if he were doing it. But we're planning. We're strategist. We know the strategy that we want to build Liberty Fellowship Church. My strategy, folks, is to allow God in our lives and rule our lives, have his will be our will. That's our strategy. Do we have organization and plans and things that we'd like to see done? Yes, but they will not take the place of what God wants for this church. We need to be very careful that our plans do not take place of what God wants to do here. We have folks here at Liberty Fellowship Church that have skills, musical skills, speaking skills. We have some of the greatest Sunday school teachers in the country right here. We have some of the most beautiful voices in singing right here at this church. Folks, we can't allow those things to become and take the place of what God wants for our life. I can't allow my skill to be something that I would look at, something that I can do, and I take God completely out of the picture. I can't do that. If I do that, then my skill becomes an idol to me. And I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to substitute for what God can do in my life. Big church, little church. How many times do you hear the folks who go to the little church talk about the big church. And the folks who go to the big church talk about the little church. What difference does it matter if it's a big church or a little church? If we're not careful, we'll be so proud that we go to a little church. I see some of you smiling, and I've heard some of you say, I like my little church. I love my little church. I just love my church. Don't you? I don't want to make a deal out of it that those folks in the bigger churches are not like us. We're actually the ones who have it right because we're the little church. And the folks at the big church say, oh, we're the ones who have it right because we're the big church. Those folks just don't know how to grow. Maybe we could teach them something. I'd say, well, maybe we should all let God teach us something. Maybe we should, wherever we are. Paul said, I am content in whatever state I'm in. And he didn't mean Tennessee either. Wherever he was, if he was in a big church or a small church, that's where he was, and that's where God was going to control his life. So we just need to be careful about what we make apart. I have never liked statistics. You know about those statistics. Right? You know about them. We had so many baptisms last year. Our attendance is this. You know what I'm saying? If we're not careful, we'll get so tied up in numbers, we'll forget that God created numbers in the first place. And by the way, he's not into numbers. If he was into numbers, it would be number one. He's one soul at a time. He saves one soul at a time. And if we would just deal with witnessing and testifying to people one person at a time, we won't worry about how many people we baptized last year. If you were to ask me how many people we baptized since I came here 30 years ago, I couldn't give you a number because I'm not into numbers like that. I just want to see people changed. But if we're not careful, we'll get into how well we've done and the stats and stuff, and then we say, God, whatever you want to fill in there now, you go right ahead. Your giving could be an idol. It could. Things we do that we put emphasis on and we take God out of the situation. If you give to glorify God. Amen. Everything we do, we do for his glory. Otherwise, it becomes an idol. Denominations. I'm not a denominational person. I'm sorry, I'm not. We've got Methodists, Baptists, Free Wills, Red Hots, and we got all kinds of people right here in this congregation of people. Denomination. Never has, I don't remember God ever talking about Baptists, except John. I don't remember God ever talking about Presbyterians or Methodists. Do you? Never. I'm not into that. But see, I've been in this long enough to know that you can be so proudful being what you are as a denomination, you forget that God is sitting outside looking in at your pride of your denomination. Don't make it an idol. Don't make it something that takes the place of what God's going to do. It's just not a place for it. I'm moving right along. Have you noticed? The fact that we want everything. We want everything. By the way, when you want everything and you don't get everything, it'll take away your thoughts from the one who really matters. Because we're so wrapped up in what we're not getting, because we want everything, that God doesn't have a place there to take our worship. I love this building, don't you? I didn't see any of you look around. You looking around? Look at the windows, look at the ceiling, look at the light, look at the speakers, look at the pews. You know, pianos, we got stuff here. We got good stuff, don't we? Say yes, it's okay. Yeah, we do. We got to be careful where we put this building. This building was built in the early 50s by the Seventh-day Adventist. Who does it matter who's in it now? If the, like Vernon said, if the Spirit of God's not here, it doesn't matter who owned it and who built it or anything. It just doesn't. This is God's house. It's not ours. We just worship at Liberty Fellowship Church. That's what we are. And God gets all the glory for it. I praise Him for that. I'm a progressive kind of guy, if you've noticed. I'm always thinking up is the way, right? But I've found out over the years that sometimes you got to go down so you can appreciate what's up. And I would love to see that graphic. And by the way, graphics never go straight up all the way and keep going, do they? That'd be an eternal graphic, and there's no such thing on earth. So we do have to remember that even though we feel like we have progressed here because God has been in this work from the very beginning and we've seen the progression, we have to understand it's not ours. It doesn't belong to me. I can't take that credit. I can't do it. We have a good group of people working here, but we got to be careful that we don't get so minded that God has supplied us with people who are willing to do things and work that we put so much on that we forget that God wants to do a work in one person's life, and we're so proud that we have done this or done that, and we forget that there's one person sitting in this congregation maybe today that has a real hurt in your heart. There's something missing in your life that you would like to see fulfilled. And you're here for a reason. You're not here for just this one service. You're not here just for Dwayne and Gina's wedding. You're not. I've had enough conversations with this couple to know that they want what God wants here. So if you're here, it's because their wedding may have helped get you here. But you're here because God just spoke to you about something. And if your life has a vacancy and it needs to be filled, I can't fill it. No one here can fill that. But if you'll look up to the God of heaven, give Him the glory and praise for everything that He can be in your life. Worship Him only and take nothing into your life that could be an idol. Your husband can't be your idol. Your wife can't be your idol. Your children can't be your idol. Your church can't be your idol. The things you own can't be your idol. They're harmful because, you see, idolatry is Satan controlled. Psalm 106:36. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. You say, well, that's talking about something out there in the ozone. No, it's not. No, it's talking about things that happen right in our very lives. If parents aren't doing the right thing inside their homes, they're actually serving their children up to the devil himself. That's hard to take. I know it is. But folks, it's truth. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works. Defiled with their own works. And went whoring with their own inventions. We need to be very careful what we invent and create inside our own minds and hearts when it comes to worshiping God. We got to look to Him completely. Otherwise, there'll be more idols than we know what to do with. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank You for this time and this scripture, and we thank you for this time of decision. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in here today who needs to make a decision for salvation or just for committing their life totally to you so that the idols of their life, the things that are taking up your space, won't be there anymore. I pray that today will be that time that they get rid of those things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.